You are now listening to the Purpose Edit podcast.
You got to be willing to be vulnerable. You have to have the ability to self-assess, and not everybody has the ability to self-assess.
You don't necessarily have to like school to be successful in school. You just have to know how to play the game and finesse it and get through it.
Welcome to the Perfect Settings Podcast. This is a short yet powerful conversation designed to help you do three things that can ultimately change the trajectory of your life. One, discover your purpose. Two, walk in your purpose. And three, ultimately fulfill your purpose. I am your host, Coach Vic, and I'm joined as always by my lifelong friend, my brother, the educator, Dr. Shane Calhoun.
Shane, what up, man? Another day, another dollar. How you holding up?
Good, man. A little tired. Just got back from Denver. So,
Right. West Coast. Right. West Coast Calhoun.
Nah, I ain't no West Coast. That's West Coast Vic, bro.
It's Calhoun. I can't call him before 8 o'clock East time. Another schedule. I saw a picture, I think, at the conference you posted, and you was like, man, it's different out here in Denver. And it was like people out on a balcony or something, and you could like see the mountains and whatnot in the back.
It's different, bro. It's really different. Like, you know, they talk about that altitude. Like, them stairs were slapping me, bro.
Really?
I mean, I'm talking about, I go up the stairs, it's slapping me, bro. It was rough.
Like, but, all out of breath?
Huh?
Like, you were all out of breath? Like,
yeah, like one time we had went to the store and I bought like a 24-pack of water. And I went up the stairs with the water, bro, and I thought I was gone. I was like, yo, call my wife, bro. I was like, because, you know, I'm trying to be, you know, you trying to be normal. You walking up the stairs two at a time being cool. My chest burned. I just stopped talking, man. Like, but it was good. And then it actually messed with my digestive system as well.
Really?
Which was something I didn't know.
Like,
yeah. They said the first thing that people told me when I got off the plane, they said, if you drink, be careful with your drink because it takes half of the content to get you inebriated over there. And then, like, I just kept having, my stomach was upset. Like, I would eat a piece of ice and have to go to the bathroom. So I just asked somebody, like, yo, what's going on? They said, yeah, it's called, like, the altitude messes with your digestive system.
Wow.
So it was a learning experience. And then the conference itself was pretty amazing, man. Made some, had a woman come up to me. I introduced myself. I said, hey, I'm Shane. She said, I know who you are. I cited your work last week. That's a good feeling, man. It's a good feeling. And there was a lot of that going on, man. There was a lot of going on that. Because I want to get him in on the conversation. Let's introduce our guest, bro.
Man, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I didn't know you were such a big deal. You know, you just Shane to me, but I guess other people think you.
Trying to be, bro. I'm back outside, bro.
I see that. I see back that, outside. Man. I gotta catch up. Anyway, listen, today we got a dope episode. And all of our episodes are pretty dope. But today is dope because we got a special guest with us. A man by the name of Mr. Nelson K. Johnson. Now, let me tell you a little bit of just a snippet of who we're about to talk to today, right? So he is a professional film and TV music producer who has contributed to TV and film productions. Maybe you heard of stuff like Black Ink Crew, Cartel Crew, Champs versus Stars, Monogamy, Notorious Queens. I mean, this man's IMDb page is nothing to like. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not talking to a slouch. On top of that, this man is a father of two young boys and a husband. And so this conversation, when we say purpose addicts, we're talking to somebody who's absolutely addicted to their purpose. And we're going to lean into how that came about. I would like to introduce you to a Mr. Nelson K. Johnson. Nelson, what's up, homie? You might be on mute.
Yo, I'm off mute. What's up, man? How y'all doing tonight? How y'all doing? And how's everybody out there doing, man? Super, super excited. As you can see, smile on my face. You know what I mean? But all good. What's happening?
Man, glad to have you on the show, man. When Shane first told me about you, this probably was like a month, maybe 2 months ago, right? And he didn't even tell me your name. He just told me some of the stuff you could do. And I was like, so why haven't we got him on the show? He was like, no, that's a good point. I should probably ask him.
Yeah, go ahead. Y'all know y'all ask, bro, for sure.
What are we doing? So
we got on, and Nelson is probably, and we're going to talk about it more. He's also the owner and creator of the Stop Sleeping on God brand, which was really the tipping point for me when I realized that the guy was a genius. But one of the most giving and open people I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. So it's going to be looking forward to the conversation.
Thank you.
So what blew your mind? You said you had one. I had one.
Man. All right. What blew your mind? Nelson, we kick off every show, little icebreaker. What blew your mind? Sometimes we have stuff happen to us, as I'm sure you do, that just blows our freaking mind. So I'm going to start off first. You could probably see under my name, Coach Vic, it says Alejandro.
Yeah. What's up with that? Almost.
This weekend, we were kicking it with my mom. She came to see us, first time she was able to come see the new house, right? And so we were just talking about, you know, childhood, upbringing, whatnot. And so I asked her, like, you know, what was my grandparents like when she first met them? Some way, somehow, that led us to what she was going to name me, and it wasn't going to be Vic. She said my original name was going to be Steven. Steven. So I was like, wait, what do you mean? Because I'm named after my father. I'm Victor II. So then I say, so my name wasn't even going to be Victor. She said, no, but your dad had some friends and they were all naming their kids the second. So we ended up going there. She said, but I also liked Alejandro. I say, whoa, wait a minute.
She obviously has something for Spanish names, because Victor.
My man's rolled his tongue on his head. Victor. Hello, Victor.
Yeah. I said, so my name was going to be Steven Alejandro. She said, no, separately. She said, I thought Steven was very presidential. He was going to be Steven Nichols. And then I was like, so where did Alejandro come? She said they had a baby book and they were scrolling past names and that was the name. She was like, oh, I kind of like that. I said, so I was almost Steven Alejandro?
You was almost Spanish, bro.
Steven
Alejandro. I'm still, you know. Alejandro. I put on a hat or something, you know.
Yeah, that is too funny, man. That is a good one, blew your mind.
That might be what be my alias moving forward. Just so you know.
That's good. Well, my what blew your mind is just a second ago, and this is going to be near and dear to Nelson's heart. I saw somebody a YouTube video that posted, "Do not register your songs with BMI or ASCAP." Now, BMI or ASCAP, for those that you don't know, is basically a performance rights organization that collects money for your music every time it's performed in a public venue, played on the radio, et cetera, et cetera. So when the songs are on television, that's who collects the money. Long process, QGs, yada, 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 so on and so forth. So it led me to believe, like, everybody has an opinion, guys.
Everybody.
You know, everybody has an opinion, and this is going to be the same for the rest of the year. In a world where everything is so fake, you have to figure out what is real. Okay? And don't let what people say take you away from what you go to do. And I'm going to get to the next part. Like the other day I heard Grant Cardone, love him. He said, don't invest in the stock market. The stock market is dead. The other day I heard this other guy that I follow, courses and digital products are dead. No, the key is you have to do your own research and you have to put in the work every single time. What he was actually saying was, if you are a producer who sells your beat online, it is a waste of time to register your songs with pros. Because if, let's say you're the artist, Nelson, once you and I make the song, let's say in my catalog, the beat is called Trust. When you and I make the song, it's going to be named something else. Yep. So now is when we want to. It's the same thing when the libraries recatalog your stuff.
Yeah, factuals. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, factuals.
So it's like you would see the headline and just get caught up in, I'm not registering anymore. Next you know, you're missing pennies on a dollar because you didn't do your research. So
that's why I love that quote that says, you had a purpose long before they had an opinion.
And 100%.
That's exactly where I was going. Yeah. See, we back at it again. Like, you had a purpose before they have an opinion. So you have to walk and do according to what you feel is done. Do your research, man. It's just that clean.
Yeah. So, Nelson, man, we just going to have good, honest dialogue, good conversation, man. Wherever it takes us, it takes us. I had a chance to check out your a little bit about your bio. So
nice,
I got some candid questions.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, to kind of set you up. But ultimately, we ask every guest the same question, right? We're trying to understand on the Purpose Addicts show, how did you discover your purpose? What are you most passionate about? So what is your answer to the question? What are you most passionate about? How did you discover your purpose?
Man, I am most passionate about helping people, right? And that involves a lot. Like, the spectrum, like, it's so broad, man. Like, whether it's life advice, whether it's music advice, whether it's brand advice, whether it's just, hey, how do you plug this up into here? You know what I mean? Like, I really get, like, joy out of that. And it's wild because I think I discovered that when I was, like, really young, right? My right after I was born, not right after, but maybe about a week or two after I was born, like, my mom was on a grind, bro. Like, so she, we had a family friend. She was my nanny, basically. So my mom, boom, took me, my nanny raised me from little kid up until, I don't know, man, like 11, 12. Like, I was always around her, right? But she taught me, like, reading, writing, respect, love. Like, she taught me all these things. And she was a very, very giving person, right? Mm-hmm. And so that, again, that was information, just life advice, finance, like, everything. Like, she was a gift giver. She was just a giver, man. We was in church all the time, every Sunday. But she taught me a lot, and she was blind. And that's the thing, right? So with her being blind, it's like,
we ain't got no excuse.
Right. Like the world to her, like, she had an opinion, obviously, right? But for us, like, we have these opinions because we can, based off of, like, when we see people, the things that we see, but things to her was like a blur and dark. So she had to trust a lot, you know what I mean? And that was like me too. It's like, you know, you have no reason not to trust the person, right? So assuming that you can trust the person is like, hey, you'll give, right? So yeah, man, like, my purpose is, like, really, like, helping people. And I found that out when I was, like, very, very young, because I always wanted to be involved in things that allow somebody to say, oh, thank you for showing me that, or thank you, I learned this from you. And I always get, like, a thrill out of that every single time.
That's precisely how we met. I was trying to get information about Music Sync or something, and I seen him online. It was when I wanted to start a podcast. So I'm thinking, all right, this guy seems super famous and professional. He probably ain't gonna respond, but I'm gonna shoot him a message. So we start messaging back and forth for like 2 hours, and then he sends me a voice message. Then he's like, bro, let's just get on the phone. And
yeah, man. So
and it's in the middle of the pandemic. I don't know where, know me from Adam. And since then, we've just been kind of, you know, just been tight, man. So that, a person who lives what he says, you know, it's kind of the deal.
And I just, like I said, I think it helps, man, you know, because like we were just talking a little bit ago, sometimes people just don't know. Like, some, it can be the simplest things, but sometimes people just don't know. You know, I'm very inquisitive too. Like, if I don't know something, I'm like, well, how does this work? Well, why, like, why does it happen this way? Yeah. Why do you do it that way? And it's just real simple, you know what I mean? So I really want that. And in order to get that, that's kind of like what I put out. So
if you could think back to, like, the moment that you became addicted to helping people, can you recall that moment?
I would say it was, most recently, I would say, like, at the top of the pandemic, right? Because the pandemic changed a lot for so many people. And I have been, you know, doing the sync licensing stuff, like, for, like, a while at that point. And I didn't really think nothing of it, because I was like, yo, it was just an extension of me being a music producer and making songs and things like that. And I hadn't been getting into it. But at the top of the pandemic, it was just an influx of people, like, who couldn't tour anymore, people who couldn't do shows, stuff was shut down. It was like, oh, so people start finding this sync licensing. And, like, again, probably the same way, you know, Shane found me, like, people were, like, inquisitive, just, like, asking questions. And I was like, I got a thrill. I just got a thrill out of it. People were like, well, what would you do? And I'm like, you do this, you blah, 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 this, how you do it just like this. I can show you exactly how. Then I start, you know, setting up like courses and like webinars and things like that. And it was just really, really, again, I keep saying it was a thrill, but I really, really enjoyed it. You know what I mean? So I think at the top of the pandemic, it really shed a huge light on, yeah, like on that, because of the world literally changed. And sometimes, you know, you can always find your purpose like along the way, but sometimes there's like these pivotal moments when you find your purpose. Yeah. You're like, oh man, I feel this or I feel that, you know what I mean? And the pandemic was one of those times, man. And I was able to incorporate my message like of like faith and like, yo, Jesus. And because it was like, it was that time, you know? So mm-hmm. It just kind of just came out like naturally. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. So we roll with it, you know?
Yeah. So I watched in that moment you really blow up the course. And I mean, maybe over the course of a year, like I saw you go from here to, and it was like the marketing, the Facebook groups, the promotion, the redesigning in the course. And then about halfway through, like, funny story, the shirt that I'm wearing.
Oh, yeah.
The shirt. From his original thing, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And we was working together doing the designs. Mm-hmm. And what he always used to say to me, bro, is I don't want to design t-shirts.
I want a t-shirt, man.
So
it's a little thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm sitting in the parking lot and I see this, I'm scrolling. And this man done started a whole nother clothing line. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I said to myself is, God, Lee, the man done left me. What the fuck is going on? But I didn't say anything. The only thing I did was I screenshot it. Mm. And I said, bro, this is dope.
And exactly.
I left it just at that. Mm-hmm. And then I guess that was the birth of the Stop Sleeping on God brand. Mm-hmm. And then we started learning about, you know, you told me about your story, and I'm hoping we can share it here about when you got locked up. Mm-hmm. And tell us about that, because I literally saw the pivot from sync licensing to this Stop Sleeping on God brand.
So, as he mentioned, you know, we were working on the Super Scene Squad shirt, and the thing was I'm not sure exactly when the time or like what time frame it happened in, but it just came over me, right? And I was just in I was using Canva at the time, so I was in Canva, and it was just like Stop Sleeping on God, right? But I didn't really have like an idea for it, and so the Super Sync Squad logo I took down was just like, all right, boom. Because like, as you see, his shirt is the Super Sync Squad, and you see this one. This was like the original, so I had got that, and I got it put on a hoodie by my wife's friend. I was just like, man, this was. And I think I took a snapshot of it on. That might be what you're talking about. I took a snap. Yeah. I just threw it out there like on a book, and then people just like, yo, and I was like, because I wasn't like expecting that. I was just trying to show something, you know what I mean? And it just kind of all meshed together, because ultimately, and we're going to go back at this point, right? The Super Sync Squad, the whole sync licensing thing, that stemmed from, I left my job at the time. It was like 2013, and I left the job to pursue sync licensing in California. So I dropped everything at the job. I'm like, yo, I had a homeboy out there, and he's just like, man, you gotta come out here. And he had been telling me for years, bro, just like, yo, you gotta come out here. You gotta come out here. I'm like, man, I'm at work, bro. Like, you like, because like I said, I'm all about, like, again, I never want to come off as money hungry, but yo, you need funds, bro. Like, that's just the end of the story, right? So I've always been good at multitasking, I guess you can say, where working a job never interfered with anything that I have done, because it was just an extension, and that's just how you planned your day. But the point is, 2013, something clicked in me, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it, bro. Like, I'm just gonna do it. And so I told my boss, like, yeah, I put in my actual resignation, like, for the day. They're like, you sure you don't want to do a what do you call it, a leave of absence? And I was like, no, man, I'm done, bro. I'm about to go follow this dream. I was rapping at the time too, like doing mixtapes and stuff. So, you know, being at work, they kind of like, oh my God, this is what you do? When you got a big studio or something? I'm like, bro, I just had the mic. You know, it sound good. But they were like working every day, but I was doing this on, you know, on the side, you know, on a creative tip. Anyhow, so I packed up everything, and at the time, my girlfriend, which is my wife now, like at that time, we had been talking for quite some time, since like 2008-ish, 2009, something like that. So we had to, you know, go our ways, you know what I mean? And another part of the purpose is, well, okay, let me continue on the story. So we had to go our ways, right? And got in a whip, drove to California, bro. And like, you know, and that's when I really got into the licensing. And for the first time I saw like the BT logo, and I saw my music playing, but like around that, I'm just like, oh man, it's over, bro. Because I thought I figured it out, you know. Yeah. But the truth is, like, fear ultimately got the best of me, because I had blew through my 401k money. I blew through all that money. So I'm still out there trying to hustle and stuff. And I end up making my way back to Michigan. And the crazy thing is about that, I'm driving all the way, bro. I'm driving from California to Michigan, and I end up in Utah. Right in Moab, Utah, bro. I was almost to Colorado. Where I was almost to like Colorado, like a couple hours out. And I get like this cop started following me, right? And he was following me for, man, I don't know, it seemed like forever, right? I'll say like definitely more than 20 minutes, 30 minutes, probably 45. I don't know. But he was following me, and I'm like, okay, I'm good. You know, I got the the cruise control on, like I'm good, you know. The cars behind me start going around me, so I'm like, all right, I'm good. Another car go around me, boom, the cop's still behind me. I'm like, I could speed up, but I'm like, nah, because I don't know where I'm at. I'm in the mountains, bro. So and this was around a time, because you remember 2013, not too long before that, we had like the whole Trayvon Martin. Yeah, right. And so I'm like, you know, I'm about to play it cool. I ain't do anything. So I call my girl, which is my wife now, right? So I call her up, like, yeah, the police behind me, you know, I'm just letting you know, driving. He flicks me, bro. And that's when I'm like, oh man, here we go. So I'm like, I ain't do nothing. Cool, pull over. And he's like, yo, do you know why I pulled you over? I'm like, nah, I don't know. So the reason why he pulled me over, though, was because he said the tints on my windows, right? Because I had tints on the windows. That's what caught his attention. I'm like, sounds a bit stereotypical to me, but who am I, right? You know what I'm saying? That sounds familiar, right? It's always been those stories, right? So I'm like, cool, right? I get it. I'm in a different state. The laws is different. Cool. So he take my license. He's gone for what seems like forever. And he comes back and he gives me this paper about the tents, saying these are the laws, blah, blah, blah. He said, I'm still checking some stuff, come back, right? Mind you, I ran out of money, right? So I had a car note at the time, and that car note wasn't getting paid, bro, because like I just ain't have the bread. So that's why I was trying to get back to Michigan, get back to a job so I can get my money up and continue on with life, right? They reported the car stolen. So obviously that's illegal, because they didn't go through the protocol. But long story short, they reported the car stolen, and the officer is like, is this your car? I'm like, I mean I have everything in here. But he's like, is this your car, do you own it? I was like, yeah, I own it, I mean, I'm making payments on it, blah blah blah. So he went back to his car, come back again, and then he asked me to step out. And it, bro, my heart just like dropped. I'm like, I don't know why do I have to step out the whip? But I'm like, you know what? I'm cool. Had her on the phone just like this, had it in my hoodie like this, to stay cool, just so you can hear. I'm out. He asked me all these questions, where I'm going, where I'm coming from. And I said, I'm coming from California.
It don't sound that you're going from LA to Michigan.
Right, man. Facts, bro. Oh, my God. You like he got real inquisitive when he was like, where you coming from? I was like, yeah, I was coming from California. He's like, where you going? I'm going to Pontiac. He was like, Pontiac. I'm like, oh, it's like right by, you know, around Detroit. He's like, so you're coming from LA to Detroit? And I'm like,
yeah.
Man, when he said it back, I'm like,
you smuggling cars. Yeah.
Right, he's like, you doing something, bro. You doing something. And so at that point, like, I'm just standing there, and what did he say? He says, I forget what he said exactly, but it led to, you know, I'm need you, can't turn around and put your hands on the car. And I put my hand in my hoodie because I wanted to turn off the phone, and I put my hand in my hoodie. He was like, sir, please don't do that. I was like, oh, I'm trying to get my phone, you know, my girl on the phone, blah, blah, blah. So he was like, all right. So I pull it out, and I'm like, yeah, they tell me. So I'm like, I'm going to have to call you back, you know, and I just had to hang up, put it back in there, put my hands on there. He's patting me down, and you will understand this part as I go along the story. I don't want to be long-winded, but I started laughing, right? When he did that, he started patting me down. I was like, bro, I literally started, like, laughing. I got like hysterical, and I don't know if it was my nerves, but I just found it funny. Like, this is crazy. I'm gonna have a crazy story to tell because I ain't do nothing, right? So it's like, you gonna find I ain't do nothing, right? Patting me down, then he said, can you put your hands behind your back? And I'm like, man, this stupid, but all right, whatever. Put my hand behind my back, and he started telling me that he put me under arrest for grand theft auto, transporting stolen goods across state lines from California all the way to where I was at, and the tents, like some crazy stuff, bro. But I'm like, this can't be real. But I had a smile on my face, and I'm laughing still, right? Put me in the back of the police car, and I'm just like, bro, this is like crazy. He called the other officers up, bro, and they like pulling my studio stuff out the car, putting it on the ground, man. I'm just like, this is my life. They taking my stuff. Then they start asking me, like, what do I do? They're like, so what'd you go to California? I was like, well, I mean, I was there making music for like TV shows and stuff, blah, blah, blah. They was like, so do you have any money or anything going to you? I was like, I don't have any money. He's like, so how did you have a job or something? Like, how did you make money? And if you don't have any money, how do you got money to drive home? I was like, well, I got a, you know, car, my people, then they send me money, then blah, blah, blah. So that part happened, and I'm sitting in the back, and this is where it didn't get funny, right? The officer comes to me, and he opens the door, bro, and he starts fidgeting with the light. Then he's like, oh, yeah, these older cars, the cameras don't work a lot in here. And so I'm just thinking, like, all right, that was weird. You know what I'm saying? And I start thinking about this whole Trayvon Martin thing, right? Because from that point on, like, it started to influx in, like, what was happening between, you know, black men specifically. And I was just like, this is not going to happen. And I was in the middle of nowhere, like, literally the middle of nowhere. But, yeah, man, they ultimately arrested me, and then we drove about, like, a couple hours back to their little county jail in Moab, wherever, or Grand Junction, wherever that junk was. And it was crazy, bro, because they booked me, bro. Like, they booked me in the jail. And they're like, they're like, what's your name? So I told them my whole name. They look at me up. They're like, do you go by any other names? I'm like, no. They're like, are you sure?
I go by Grand Theft.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So they asked me all these questions. They was like, have you ever been in trouble before? I was like, nah, man. I was like, I ain't even do nothing now. I'm not in trouble now. I don't know what you're talking about, right?
Oh, you so in they, trouble. You are sitting in county. You are in trouble.
Dog, and it's just like, okay, so he's going through typing, and they typing for like a while, but they couldn't find anything because there was nothing, right? Which I kept trying to tell him. So past all that, man, they end up putting me in a cell, and that's when I ate my Thanksgiving dinner in that cell, and it was disgusting, bro. I think that evening that they got me booked and everything, that evening I would have ultimately gotten home like super, super late on Thanksgiving, right? If I remember correctly. So they had Thanksgiving dinner and everything, man. So that's where I spent that Thanksgiving eating that food. They booked me, and That's where I spent 21 days of my life that I'll never get back, all over something that I didn't do.
21 days?
Yes, bro. 21 days straight.
How did this get cleared up as simply, I didn't pay my car note?
I'm in there 21 days. And the reason why I was 21 days was because that court, right? Because court doesn't – we think court – well, maybe it might be that time, but we think court is like a constant thing. Like court, it happens like they do a bunch, then they ain't doing nothing, then they do some more. So right. I had got right in there where had I been there like 2 or 3 days longer, right – I would have had to wait all the way until sometime late in December. So
yeah, you got out for Jesus's birthday.
Bro, listen, I'm telling you, man, this the stop sleeping on God. That's why, like, this is why the message is so powerful, because all of it ties in. I'm in there, and by the time it's time for me to get out, I did have to go to court once. So I go to court once so they can read the charges. And they just ultimately asked me, like, how do I plead? And I'm like, well, I plead, like, not guilty, right? Yep. So they appointed me a lawyer, and I was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I could bond out, right? So I was going to bond out, and I think the bond was like, it's like, what was it, like 5% or 10% of five, or like 50,000 is like 5,000 or something like that, right? So I needed like 5,000, right? So I was like, okay, well, let's just get the money. You know, I'm calling home. We're going to get the money. But my aunt told me something important. She was like, if you try to bond out, all they're going to do, they're going to take your money. They're going to let you out. Then they impounded my car and all my stuff. So they're going to take your money. They're going to let you out. Then you got to find a way home. Then you got to find a way all the way back there to go to court. And then, right. And so it's kind of implying that maybe you did do something, but we know you didn't. So don't give them your money. And so I'm like, man, all right, I'm just going to wait it out. 2 days pass, nothing. 3 days, nothing, bro. That week, I started getting in. I'm like, okay. Then they threw me out. I was in the cell with the other people, right? And that's when it kind of was like, kind of got weird, man. I was in a lineup with a child predator, a dude who was on his porch, like not, I'm gonna say sniping, but he was like shooting people with a rifle, bro. He was just like crazy. Him, I was in there with this dude that was in a gang, bro. Like he had like all these crazy tattoos. He ain't like black people. And I was the only black man in that whole entire jail. I was the only black man in that whole entire town, bro. So they was like, you from Detroit? You know Eminem? I'm like, man, like, like you ever been to 8 Mile? This guy's my witness, man. And I'm just like, no, right? All this crap. But all jokes aside, by the time it got figured out, man, I had to go back to court, and I got all the paperwork out the car. My wife, again, my girl at the time, that's why we married now, because she's been down for the cause since day one, you know. And so she had to get all the receipts, all the money orders, banks, and all the stuff that's showing that I was paying for this car. Like I had everything, contracts signed, I had everything, bro. So they figured all of that out, and the day that they figured out that they came and got me, like I ain't have, all I had was a hoodie. I think I had on shorts at the time, and it was cold in Utah, bro. Like it was cold. So it all got figured out, right? I had to go to court. They dropped all the charges, and that was it. They let me out, and it was like, okay, bye, basically. And I had to walk out, and I didn't know where to go. I had to look left, look right, and it was dark on both sides. And so I just said a quick little prayer, and then I went left. And as soon as I went left, I walked to the street, and there was a hotel right there. And that's the hotel that I ended up staying at for maybe about 3 or 4 days until I was able to get my car out. And the people who put me in there, they was like, yeah, can you give the car back? I'm like, that shit. I'm like, bro, excuse my language. I was like, yo, that's in the impound, right? I ain't getting it out. You can go get it out. Then my aunt, again, with the wisdom. Right, my aunt with the wisdom said, don't be so hasty to do that. Like, tell them like, yeah, you want to get a car back, or no, tell them like you want to keep the car because, you know, they want it and you like an impound has it. So tell them if they want the car, get it out the impound and I'll go get it. And if I go get it, then of course I gotta wait to the crib, yeah, right? Yeah. So they got out, I got the car, drove it back, bro, and it was just it was wild, man. I'm just driving back like, I can't believe this happened to me, man. They violated me. Huh?
You almost didn't make it.
But almost ain't make it, man. They violated me, and I was like, bro, it was a degrading moment, bro. And because I have a tattoo. Well, yeah, I have a tattoo right here, bro. There it is. So this tattoo that I had on my hand, I got when I was younger, they had a lockdown in there, and they put me in a cell with the dude that was like the gang dude. He's like, hey, bro, you know what that mean on your hand? I'm like, I mean, it's just a tattoo. Like, literally in those words. And he was like, dog, this was straight out of a movie. He was like, you want some noodles or you want something? And he lift up his bed, and it was like all these snacks or something. He's like, you want a book or something? I was like, no, I'm good. So I just sat there on the floor, just sat there. Then he was like, you sure you don't know what that means? Because where I'm from, that means something different. And I was so like,
the gang leader and didn't even know it.
Right, man. I was in it. I was like, I was dumbfounded because it literally means absolutely nothing, bro. And it was just kind of like, man, you know, but he ended up being like a cool person. You know what I mean?
What did it mean to him?
Like, he said it was like a, well, like a 1, 2, 3, 4, like 5-point star or something like that, right? And so I had never heard of any of that stuff. So I'm just kind of like, you sound crazy, because ultimately this is a tattoo that somebody who I thought, you know, we was gonna be together forever, we end up getting these tattoos, right? That's a different story. But the point is, that's all it meant. You feel me? Yeah. Like, I like, after all these years, you still getting on my nerves. You feel me? After all these years, you still bringing that drama.
It's got you whooped.
Right. So it was crazy, man. And I know I'm rambling, but real quick, another piece of that. They was bringing lunch around, and I kept grabbing the juices, right? Every time, I'm like, yes. Every time, it was always one juice left. Every time it got to me, I'm like, snatching the juice, bro. And they had put us in, it's not general population, but it was where a bunch of cells were together at this time. And I go to grab it that time, and the dude stopped me. He's like, the dude that's passing out the food, the guard. He was like, are you lactose intolerant? I'm like, no. And he's like, then you get milk. If you only get juice if you're lactose intolerant. There was only one person in the whole thing that was lactose intolerant who was never getting his juices because I was taking this stuff, right? And guess who it was? It was a crazy dude that was on his porch shooting people. Oh, it was his juice God. That I've been taking. Bro, he stared me down the whole time and I was in there, man. And I was like, dog, it was crazy. It was serious. Listen, as God is my
witness, you can't do that to me. Hold on with this.
Right, like, you know what this mean, right? You know what this mean? But he's staring me down, bro. And it was just crazy. And it was this kid in there, young kid named him. They called him like I Eat It, because like he was always eating everybody like stuff all the time. He was like real greedy dude, but he was like real skinny. But he just ate a lot. He never wasted no food. And we ended up sharing a cell on my last leg of there. And before we left, man, he was like, yeah, man, can you pray for me? And I was like, cool. Right. So we prayed like right before I left there. And again, I know I'm being long winded, but this story is important. So stop me at any time, bros. while I was in there, I found this book, right? They had the library open. And it's normally closed. So I land on this hard bed and I saw this book just poking out. And that book is kind of what sparked what Stop Sleeping on God is, right? So I went to California to chase a dream, to get music on TV, got that accomplished. I ended up in this jail. I found this book and I got up to go grab it. And you weren't supposed to be up at that time. You weren't even supposed to be over there, but they just didn't close the door. And so I was like, man, I couldn't sleep anyway. So I got up. Swooped the book, threw it under the mattress, went back to sleep, you know what I mean? Got up the next day, and I was in that book for like pretty much the whole entire time. And that book really changed my perspective on a lot of things, which
the book
was called, I'm going to get the number wrong, but I think it was seven ways to keep the devil under your feet. And it was by Joyce Myers, Joyce Meyer. And so I kept reading it back to back, and it had Bible references, and I would grab the Bible like, oh, okay, I'm understanding, you know, and I would just go back and forth. So that's why I did a lot in there. And yeah, man, I said not guilty. They fixed everything. They expunged it from my record.
That's cool.
I got out, and you said something about Christmas, you know what I mean? So like literally around the time I got out, man, around everybody's like, man, you gotta go sue these people. I was like, look, I don't got time for that. I just wanted to get out. That's all I wanted. I don't want to deal with none of these people. But it worked out that way, that my wife knew somebody. And I guess to this day, right, because of like, you know, I didn't have to have a lawsuit, but because it wasn't a lawsuit, I can't like say like names and all that stuff. But the point is we did have to file a lawsuit. And then literally, which is crazy, and I always think things happen for a reason or people say things for a reason. You mentioned Christmas, and literally a year like that following Christmas, bro, like we had got the word that we had won it and everything. And that was like, you know, we had just had my little baby Jackson at that time. And that kind of like changed like so much for us, really. And it was just a wild moment, man. And fast forward, that's how like Stop Sleeping on God was actually born. Because I was in that cell, in that room, and I couldn't sleep. And I got up in that book, bro. The book really opened my mind to a lot, man. And it just, I don't know, man. I can't explain it. I couldn't have planned that, you know?
If I could synthesize a little bit about you and how your purpose got revealed to you. One, you got a habit of doing stuff you ain't supposed to be doing. Let's just. I told you ain't even supposed to be over there getting books, and you over there getting books.
Okay. Yeah, but I had to get up.
I understand. I understand.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's the other part that I take from that story is that oftentimes your purpose is this thing that won't let you sleep. It won't let you sit mm-hmm. still. It keeps agitating Ooh. At your spirit. Man. No matter what you do, no matter what you try to do, you try to run away from it, you try to get away from it, and you can't. Mm-hmm. And because you are fighting against your calling, whatever that may be, you end up in these uncomfortable situations and scenarios.
Facts.
Which leads you right back to square one.
Exactly. Like, yep. And I totally agree with that. And it's like, I did grow up. My mom was like an usher, you know, my mom was an usher for like ever, you know? So like I grew up in church. Like I said, my nanny had us in church every single Sunday. And it's like, they always say, and I'm not amazingly great with Bible verses, but it's like train up a child so they know which way to go, like yeah. when they grow up, right? And so I look back on all that, man, and like I'm like, man, the people around me did a good job, because I definitely had a bunch of bumps and bruises. I strayed away so many times, man, but the foundation was always there, always stayed the exact same. And I feel like during the time I was going to California, what I was doing really, I was trying to appease other people, and I was trying to run away from things that weren't working for me at the time. You know what I mean? So I was still trying to get away. Like, man, I'm trying to chase this music thing, and I'm doing it. Like, why am I really doing it? Right. It was more so I was doing it to say like, yeah, I got up and I followed my dreams, and like you didn't, or I quit my job and you didn't, right? I was doing it for the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. And because I did it for the wrong reasons, I'd like to believe that I'm trying to take these shortcuts and move too fast. And God's like, I got to slow you down, right? And that's like a catch-22, because I don't feel like God is like would do things purposely like, oh yeah, we're going to put you in a terrible situation, but the chips are going to fall like I made a decision, and because of that decision it worked out. Like everything is going to always work out, right?
Mistakes aren't lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And something you said that's so profound. One of the you said that like you was chasing the dream to kind of prove people wrong. Like I can do it. I'm gonna go quit the job. Like that's just so much of today. Yeah. People chase these things, and again, they see this on the social media. They see this, do this, and you'll get this. And it's like we're always chasing that elusive big step. You know, one of the things that I regret, Vic, I was thinking about it, and this thought made me, is that whole statement when I said at the beginning that there's a lot of bread on the bread aisle.
You regret that statement?
I do. Although it's true. Like, I'm in the t-shirt business, you in the t-shirt business, you in the t-shirt business. Cool. All of us are, right? Kind of in our own ways, depending on which way we're doing it, right? But like, bringing it back to the bread, although there are multiple pieces of bread in the bread aisle, sometimes bread needs mayonnaise. Sometimes bread needs cheese. We just get caught up in, oh, they doing it, so I'm going to do it. This doing that, that do it. It looked like it worked for him, so I'm going to go over here.
Yeah.
And we never think, we never push ourselves to think or to, you know, you talk about the gold rush, right? When everybody was, the 49ers going over on the West Coast finding golds. You know who made the most money?
People back home.
Mm-mm. Levi's. They made the jeans company. Because people were constantly on their knees, so they made thicker pants so they wouldn't get holes in their jeans. You see what I'm saying? So we're so rushing for the goal when maybe the money's in the shovel.
Yeah, right. For sure, for sure.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I thought it was something about that. Like, I put something on the book about, what did I say? I was like, it's not about, it says, it's not about what they're doing. It's about, something along the lines, it's not about what they're doing, but it's about what you're going to do for yourself or being better at doing something that they're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was referencing like the licensing, right? Because again, I saw like so many courses, bro. It's like courses popping up, gurus popping up everywhere. Like I'm definitely not the only one with the info. Like I'm the only one at all. Yeah. Right. But I saw that a lot. And then it's still like that constant thing of like, all right, man, well, I see that they're doing it like this, so man, I gotta step my game over. But the whole while is like it's not even that. You know what I mean? It's like I have a completely different thing. But they have
100%. You know? But look at the pivot. Mm-hmm. Not only is your course different, I've taken it. I've seen it, right? But you were able to step back, got in line with yourself. Boom, stop sleeping on God.
And that I love that you say that. Like, it was something, again, it's an extension of me and, like, what I do and who I am, bro. Like, I had stepped back from these courses and posting online and webinar. I stepped back from all that, but I ended up at NAMM, bro. You know what I mean? Like, I ended up all the way at NAMM, and that was, like, what y'all was saying earlier, like one of the blew my mind moments because when Marcus reached out to me, like he connected everybody that was on that panel. And like, I knew the guys, you know, just online.
Marcus Henderson?
Yeah. Yeah. And so like, I knew the guys that, everybody on the panel, you know, you had, Jay Nolan, Clint, DeRoz, like everybody we had. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I was looking at these people and I was looking at my name. I was like, did you make a typo, my guy? Because like these people are like active, like they like active and they going in it. But again, like I stepped back and I was kind of like, I'm in the game, obviously, but it's like, man, I ain't really been outside on this like in like a while, right? I've been focused on me, my family. I've been trying to build something else. But here I am, bro. Like, here I am. And before that, I had went to Nashville to do the same thing, to speak on this panel. Had a few.
Yeah,
and it was kind of like, man, so it goes what you say. Like, no matter which way you go, it's going to always pull you back, even if you try to get away from it. And that's how I know, like, these things. And it all came together. And that's how I know, man. That's how I feel.
The reason why it drawed you back and it pulled you back, it was one, because you were being authentic. You weren't copying nobody. You didn't do a course because somebody did a course. You did a course because you felt like you wanted to help somebody. And the next part is, you just do quality work.
Appreciate it.
In a world where everything is fake, it's easy to recognize.
Damn, right, real. Right.
So when you come out with 2.0, whatever that is, if you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah. It's this.
The clientele's going to be there.
It's people, once you realize, and this is what I think, Nelson, you're getting at, is once you realize why you want to do something regardless of what it is, as opposed to doing it because everybody else wants to do it, that's exactly. when it comes across as authentic. That's when you're able to execute it in a way.
And that's why mm-hmm. I look back now at the Bread Aisle conversation where it was like people are just doing things because it's the hot thing to do.
But when you and I had that conversation about getting into the t-shirt game and it's saturated and what have you, and you made the comment about, dude, look at how many different brands of bread in the Bread Aisle. There's enough for all of us to eat. I knew at that time we both weren't getting into it, excuse me, because everybody else was jumping into the t-shirt game. That was just a data point that said, mm-hmm. if we decide to do this for our reasons, there is evidence that we could be successful also. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Are you doing it because there's evidence that you can be successful also? Yeah. Or are you doing it just because everybody's doing it?
Man, go ahead. I got to touch on
that. And that's the part where a lot of people lose me, because it looked like a lot of people just doing it because everybody's doing it. And there's no thought. There's no thinking. There's no passion. There's no purpose.
Yeah. I was thinking this like a couple of days ago where I was just like talking to myself saying like, people like would assume, like it's plenty of people that kind of like assume like, yeah man, you like, you if you just quit and or you focus 100% on this and you do that, yada yada, that like, man, you could be great. And I'm like, I thought to myself like, Nelson, what are the reasons that you do what you do? And again, at the core, like we mentioned before, like I like helping people, right? Yep. So with helping people, I got three people that I help like in this house, right? And to help them, which is my wife and my two sons, and I do have my other family members, like I gotta help them too, right? But the point is, my family, bro, like they really drive me to like, okay, well, my goal, people have a goal, right? They say, well, I want to get into the music industry. I want to work for nobody because I want to, I want to have that freedom of waking up when I want to. I want to hit no clock. I want to do this and that. It's all again, why do people want that, right? Yeah. It was times that I wanted it because it was people around me who were like doing that. And I'm like, man, I want to be able to wake up in the morning and get straight on the keys. So a lot of times it was years that I was really trying to do it because I saw other people doing it. And there were other people that were like under me or, not as established, who aspired for that. And I was like, yeah, you see, I'm doing it. You know what I mean? And I see them doing it and they see me doing it. And so to the point, like, everyone's just doing it because I see this person doing it. They see me doing it. And so again, I was just thinking to myself, like, well, what is my main goal? My main goal is to say, I am going to take care of my family, right?
Yep.
That's the first thing. So then the second thing is, well, do you do want that freedom, right? You want that freedom to go where you want, to go on a vacation when you want, to wake up when you want to do. And it's like, by the grace of God, like I have a situation like that now where it's like, I can't, well, don't misconstrue it. Like I can't wake up in the morning, like I'm about to go on vacation for 2 weeks. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is I have a very flexible schedule and it allows me to take care of my family. Right. And so I think people really, you know, get tied up in that, and that stops people from doing things. Because even with Stop Sleeping on God, man, it was a lot of Christian brands, and a lot of Christian brands were like popping and huge. And I would go to their IG, thousands and thousands of people are like, oh, I love it, I love it, I love it, you know. And I get my one or two, three, four likes, you know what I mean, comments. So in the beginning, it did make me feel some kind of way, but then I just realized like, I'm doing this because this is literally a part of my life. Like,
yes,
I was literally in that jail cell. I literally felt this thing over me, like, no, you can't sleep. I know you're trying, I know you're tired, but don't sleep. There's something that you have to get. Mm-hmm. And like, the books were pristine, right? The books were pristine. There was one book poking out, like some, I don't know, you know, like they got them secret compartments where they pull it out and the thing open up. It was just poking out. And it's like,
yeah.
So that's how I know. So it's like, I'm not in it because I'm in it because everybody else is doing it. This is just my personal message. And that's why I'm able to relay it in such a way like, yo, this is like the real deal. You know what I mean? This is something that's real in my life.
And I just wrote this down. The game completely changes when you find your why and you walk and pursue your unique purpose.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. AKA, and I got to plug it really quick, AKA when you wake up. You know what I mean? This is the new so WKUP, wake up, right?
Okay.
Wisdom, but I'm the camera backwards, bro, so I'm way over here. But so y'all see the left.
Like, I got another one for you when you finish plugging this one.
Like that's like a P, my man. But yeah. You know, like WKUP, the W is for wisdom, the K is for knowledge, the U is for unity, and the P is for purpose. So ultimately, like when you wake up, you know what I mean? AKA when you stop sleeping on God and you wake up, like it'll feel like things are gonna go full circle. You just feel this overwhelming peace, right? And you're just like, man, it don't matter what this person doing, it don't matter what that person doing, you know what I mean? Because like they say, like, you're doing you, you know what I mean? You're doing you, and that just feels like so good, you know.
And this one's
hit
free
the plug.
How many days were you in jail?
21.
Okay. And what, 21. When you wake up the meaning of 21, guardian angels that will be exposed to new beginnings and new opportunities. 21. And whenever you put out that 21 hat, let me know.
Right. Ooh. Look, this man, bro, look, that's number two for you, bro. Like, hey,
I'm just trying. I just want to help my people, bro. I'm just like you.
Look, and that's the other thing, man. I've been very lately, I would say for the last maybe like year, 6 months, right? Something like that. I've been really in tune with the little things that are like that happen around me. I'm gonna try to find this, but hold up, man. This is it. You can't plan this, bro. Like, you literally can't plan these things. Oh man. But it's like I've been trying to stay keen on like these little things, these little details, man. Like in the beginning, as you mentioned, Shane, he was like, yeah, man, why don't you do the shirts? But like, that's literally what I told him. Like, man, I, you know, I ain't no t-shirt dude, bro. Like that's like basically in so many words, that's literally what I said, because mm-hmm. I didn't see it. But it's people who say things and do things that are in proximity, and they're like, you have to be keen to that. You know what I mean? And it's like, not now you look at it, you know, he got me like designing shirts, like, hey, what do you think about this shirt? Look at this shirt right here, check this out, you know, blah blah blah, you know what I mean? Yeah. And at the time, it wasn't something that I felt like, man, I felt it, but the idea of it was daunting. I think I told him that too, like the idea of the whole thing was like daunting. It seemed like a lot of work, you know what I mean, which it is, but it's still like, you know, people say those things, but the 21, bro, I'm going to have to get back to that, but it's something in this phone about that. And when you said it, bro, it was just kind of like, well, they call it them confirmations.
Yeah, the confirmations. So yeah.
That's what that is, yeah.
You know, you got to answer the question. Are you now the t-shirt guy?
Okay, so I'm not going to say I'm the t-shirt guy yet, right? I'm not going to say that, right?
I'm not a t-shirt guy, but you sound like you're a t-shirt
guy. Yeah. Apparel guy.
Okay, I'm the apparel guy, right? But no, like real talk is using the technical terms. I am the apparel guy. Yes. But no, yeah, I think I'm getting to that t-shirt guy thing, you know, because it's definitely a lot of work, you know, like from getting the samples and figuring out like the quality you want and not being so critical on yourself.
Have them hats
and,
turn
You said what?
How the hats turn out.
So let me finish this statement, because you definitely asked me about that. And so the quality and understanding, because the first sample I got of the shirt, not this one, it was another one. I had no cap, bro. Like, I'm sorry. I wore it like every day, man. I washed it, right? But I was wearing it like every day. We went out somewhere, I was literally wearing this shirt, bro, because I'm like, it was so fire to me. But my wife's like, oh, it's not really stretchy. So I'm like, oh man, I gotta go out, find some stretchy shirts, right? Got another sample, bro. Bro, they gave me it wasn't even a medium, whatever they call it, right? It was like a spandex shirt, man. Like, they gave me this super stretchy. It was like spandex, super tight. That ain't work. I got another one, and it was like a t-shirt sweater thing. Like, I don't know what it was. So it's hard in that aspect, trying to find the right material, the right printing, and all this stuff. And as for the hat, well, I got it on right here. But this one, so this is the green one. You know, it got the – oh, you can see it right there.
That's
so boom. Yeah. So it's embroidered here. Then you got the logo embroidered on the side. Then you got Luke 1:37. Nothing is impossible, right? Then you got like the inside. So like I was telling Shane, overall, because I'm wearing it, right, I'm starting to grow fond on it. But I think they came out great. There are some things that I might be being nitpicky about, but I want somebody to get this hat. And I want them to want to show it to somebody, right? I want them to be like, yo, look at this right here. You know, look at this. Look at the inside, right? I don't want them to be able to pick out any imperfection, right? But that's how we are as creative. And I'm pretty sure y'all can attest, like, we see the imperfections in certain things. But other people, they're like, huh? Oh, I would have never noticed that if you would have never said anything, so that's a part of being like the t-shirt apparel guy, is that it's a lot of trial and error, man. Like it's some headaches, man. Then
like anything though, it looked easy from the outside.
Yeah, right? For sure.
Some people make some stuff look real easy, but at the end of the day, if you're motivated by what you do, it ain't going to seem
it ain't work.
Right. That's true. Yeah. And I'm definitely motivated, because I'm not even gonna say people, because it's hard to speak for people. Like for me, especially as I got older, like Jesus really changed my life. Like I was talking about my wife and her flight, man. She called me crying, bro. And I was like, oh my God, she's stuck. I can't do nothing about it, man. And what I've been doing lately was, I'm like, you know what? I know my personal experience, when I be praying, I know he be hearing me, and I started recording him on the phone. And so what I did was, I was like, you know what? She couldn't get that flight. I went straight to prayer mode, prayed, got on the phone, you know, just praying. I recorded it. And basically the flight that she needed, she got the flight that she needed, right? Even though it wasn't there, it wasn't on the app, it wasn't available, like nothing, right? They had her on, they had her on standby originally. The list was long, but somehow they got her on number 3 on the standby list for this 5 a.m. flight, which was the very, very first flight that she needed, or she would have been stuck there for like 20 hours. But that came through. We checking the app, refreshing the app. I found the flight, trying to get it. They wouldn't go. The app started messing up. It was app messing up on her side. And she's like, oh, well, there's that. You know, she's like crying everything, but boom, I stayed up, man. She hit me up like, all right, yes, I got the flight. I got the ticket. I'm on a plane. Boom. And I'm like, I couldn't have planned it. So it was like, hey, say what you will, but that's my firsthand experience. You know what I mean? And so that's why I love building it, because I'm like, yo, I feel it has a message, and I'm able to carry that on into the licensing thing. You know, I pray for these contracts to get renewed. They get renewed. You know, opportunities come, you know, and it's good, you know. So like you said, when you're passionate about something, it's just an extension of you, and it's like you breathe it, you know.
Well, Nelson, man, we certainly appreciate you rocking with us. We're gonna get out of here with our final segments.
What about them three questions?
Ooh.
Oh, God, you want to do them?
Yeah. We're rapid, easy. I don't remember what they are. You remember what they are?
Come on, how you gonna ask
three questions? And then get the three questions.
I don't remember, but that's why there's two of us.
In any three questions, I'll answer whatever three you got.
Right, because Nelson's not gonna know. But thanks, Shane.
All right. Oh man, I don't know who they are. Whatever.
Nelson, question one. This is our rapid fire question. Tell us one book or podcast or piece of entertainment that you are consuming right now.
One book or podcast, a piece of entertainment I'm consuming right now. Oh man, that's rapid fire. Actually, I have this one. It's called How to Learn the Bible in 30 Days or something like that, where basically it's a book that goes through and it tells you, like it lays out the story of the Bible basically, and it cuts it up into sections so it makes it easier to digest. So that's something that I've been on for the last couple of days now.
All right. Second question. Who did you listen to the most growing up? Meaning piece of advice. Who were you listening to the most growing up?
My grandmother. Rest in peace to my grandma. I love you, Granny. How you doing? I listen to her because she always had nothing but positive stuff to say about me, like no matter what. She always said I was handsome. She always said I was smart. She always said I know what I was doing. She always said I was doing good. So I always listened to her, and it always just kept me motivated, you know, because that was my grandma. And like she knew, like she always knew.
That's right. All right. Last question. Think about our audience. Our audience oftentimes is somebody who's trying to figure out what their purpose is. They're learning from the shared experiences of others. They hear that calling, but they're not sure if they want to answer it. So the one piece of advice you would give to that person in the audience who's unsure of their purpose, what would you tell them?
I would tell them, just as you guys said earlier, think about your why. Because when you think about your why, everything else is going to come like full circle. Like you'll understand exactly the reason that you're doing something. And if you enjoy any slice of anything that you're doing, and you find out like, hey, this will help me enhance my why and help me accomplish my why, you know, that's going to flower into, you know, your purpose. And like I said, always seek God, you know, seek God, like anytime he's always available, seek God. And like, just ask for that, you know?
Yeah, that's what's up, man. We appreciate you, man, for
Thank
sharing
you so much.
Your insights. And we only scratched the surface. Folks, Nelson is a dope brother, dope producer, dope entertainer. This man is a creative. And the more you get sucked into the spider web that is Nelson K. Johnson, yeah. You're going to learn how to maybe follow your own purpose. So definitely check him out. Nelson, this is what we call our footwork segment. Quickly tell the people how to get in touch with you. What's the best way to connect with you?
The best way to connect with me is if you find me on Facebook at Nelson K. Johnson, feel free to add me. That's how you can connect. I'm always on there trying to crack some jokes or try to be inspiring or something crazy like that. You can find me on Instagram at Stop Sleeping on God. On Facebook, Stop Sleeping on God brand. You can also find me on Threads at Stop Sleeping on God. And if you're into sync licensing, want to learn more about that and get music and film and TV, you can hit me up on my other page, which is 85 Productions LLC on Instagram. So yes, I am on those. And you can always visit the site and be prepared for the drop at stopsleepingongod.com.
When's the drop?
It's a timer on a website, but the drop is soon. We're gonna say it like that. It's gonna be soon, and you can find out, and you will get it's password protected. But if you can go to the website, stopsleepingongod.com, get on the mailing list, and yes, if you're paying attention, you'll get the secret password so you can get into the store, you know, because it's for big believers only. You feel me? So yes, thank you guys very, very, very much. I definitely appreciate this opportunity. Y'all have been great, and I love people who listen to me ramble. Appreciate you.
As do we all.
For sure, yeah.
Shane, footwork, man. What's the step you're taking towards a goal?
Talked a lot about it last episode. I have finished the course, my first course, and I am very pessimistic. Well, very cautiously putting out, but I feel as though the information is good. The name of the course is Putting Your Music to Work, and it's Making Money Through Michael Sink and on social media. So nice, over the last year, I've been literally studying how to generate revenue for your money on every single platform. Mm. So like just this week, Facebook changed its monetizations 3 times. So like it's changing very quickly. So the kicker with the course is I'm calling it a living course. So my goal is once I drop the course, every 2 weeks or so, I'm going to put weekly new information and keep uploading it. And it's a one time, you get it once, it's yours. And then I'm going to add like you used to do with meetups and sessions. Mm-hmm. So once a month, meetup and sessions. And then I thought of another way to monetize it, but that will come.
sweet.
Nice. So that's it, man. So that's it. Put your music to work. I'll share links because I'm still finishing, but I just wanted to put that plant to see.
That's what's up. Nothing new that I'm promoting, but what I will throw a plug in for is September is just a few months away, and I'm speaking at the Culture Summit out in San Diego. So for all of you HR professionals, diversity, equity, and inclusion strategists, people who just are considering themselves change makers, this is the spot that you want to be. The Culture Summit, DEI Summit, out in San Diego, California, September 24th through the 26th. Come check me out. I got the keynote on Tuesday to get the session kicked off. You know, Coach Vic, the motivator. Right?
I know we ran long. 2 things. Embrace the shift, people. Mm. The reason why I say that is in a bit of a shift. Whereas like when we first started the pod, I just wanted to be like the guy to help Vic do his motivation thing. And never in my wildest dreams that I thought I would be a content creator. And like where I'm like almost to a point where it's, I don't even want to use the term producer anymore because it's content. Mm. We're all creating content. So like embrace the shift. Some of us are being shifted and pushed and encouraged and doors are opening, but we got blinders on.
Yeah.
And again, embrace the shift. That's just one to throw that out there.
And don't be scared of your great self. You know, we get scared to be great sometimes because it's daunting to be great. So go for it for sure.
Amen.
So closing it out for our Purpose Addicts audience, as always, we got a word of the week. And this one actually comes from the woman behind the man, Mrs. Nichols.
All
said
right.
a word to me that I said, oh, Jesus. My toes. Mrs. Nichols herself wanted me to tell all the Purpose Addicts out there, don't complain about the behavior you're willing to accept. Mm. Don't complain about the behavior you're willing to accept. We were having a conversation about how people don't understand the power of manifestation. Mm. And they think that the world around them is always negative and it's happening to them as opposed to happening for them. And she hit me with that word. She said, don't complain about the behavior that you're willing to accept. So as a result of that word, I'm going to hit the gym 5 days a week to make sure I get me back together physically because I can't complain about the behavior.
Right. There we go. I think
I'm trying to look like a damn rectangle, man.
There it is. As always, Nelson, we appreciate you. Purpose Addicts audience, we love you. We appreciate you. Thanks for always rocking with us. If you haven't already, like, subscribe, share the show, tell a friend, and possibly share it with a police officer. I'm Coach Pastor Nelson K. Johnson. Live life on purpose. Purpose Addicts. We out.
Yeah, peace.
And I think a lot of times everybody's not going to understand your vision, your walk, your purpose, your desires, your dreams, your goals. And they don't have to because I'm going to tell you a secret. Everybody ready? It's yours. It don't belong to them. It ain't they teeth to brush. Ain't they armpits to put deodorant on. It's yours.
This message is for anyone who is not answering the calling on their life. I want you to take note of something. That one thing, that one talent, that one gift you have, that idea that could give birth to a solution that possibly brings harmony to the world
will never get the chance to breathe life if you continue to let fear kidnap you from your future. That's right, I said, if you continue to let fear kidnap you from your future. Too many times we settle for good things when we can have God things. And purpose is a God-given gift. Not everybody fulfills their purpose. Not everybody discovers it. Not everybody walks in it. But if you're willing to give up the good things to get to the God things, well, baby, I promise you, purpose, that's for you.
Failure is a part of success. I heard that somewhere. I didn't make that one. Failure is a part of success.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know I love what I'm saying? That. You can try 10 times and you may not get it to your ninth, but what if that ninth try or that 10th try is the one that gets you that million? Instead of looking at what we have on the inside and utilizing our tools, we always look in other places and try to pull from there, pull from there, when most of the time it's right here inside of you. There are no problems. There's only solutions. Let's just be in a habit of fixing things or finding a way out.
My favorite quote that I learned is that fear does not stop death, it stops life. It stops us from living. And I need you. We all need you to live. Will you do it?